Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And joining me today is Dr. Carl Greer, author of Change Your Story, Change Your Life, a clinical psychologist, philanthropist, Jungian analyst, and shamanic practitioner. Carl Greer teaches at the Jung Institute in Chicago and is on the staff at the Loreen Ripagel Counseling Center. He has trained with Peruvian shamans and through Dr. Alberto Villardo's Healing the Light Body School, where he has been on staff. Like many of the guests on this show, myself included, we have been guided and grateful to have many opportunities to be involved in many career paths and learning experiences, and that is the best gift for living consciously. Continued involvement and interest in learning and expanding in wisdom, and then manifesting a prosperous, healthy lifestyle. Hello, Dr. Greer.
Hello, Cheryl.
Glad to have you here with me. Carl, as listeners of Healing From Within know, one of the purposes of the show is to view life and our challenges through the eyes of our mind or physical nature, and also through the intuitive energy essence of our inner world in order to discover more about ourselves, our emotions, and how to make necessary connections between our mind, body, and spirit so we can begin to resonate in harmony, balance, peace, and love, free of fear and limited perceptions, and live the healthiest, most productive, and rewarding life experience. In today's episode, Dr. Greer will share his discoveries about several psychological and spiritual practices and how incorporating techniques and making changes can be the way to work in alignment with universal laws of energy and also the physical world. We will discuss archetypal energies, different states of consciousness, and symbols or figures that are brought out of the unconscious mind into awareness. We each have a life story, but there are ways we can change it for the better. Personal transformation and happiness and health are always the goals. Carl, can you tell us something of your earlier life and if there were influences, people, or experiences early on that may have predisposed you to the many interests and work you found yourself involved in later?
I was grew up in a middle class family, I guess, in Pittsburgh. My dad and a lot of relatives worked in the steel industry. I worked in the steel mills in Summers as a kid, and I thought I'd just be a business guy. Went to college, was a metallurgical engineer. And then I went to graduate school in Columbia, New York, in business, and became a businessman, but not in the steel industry. But I was always interested in psychology, and went back to school in 1985. Got a degree in clinical psychology, became a Jungian analyst, and there was no conscious script to that, Cheryl, until I look back and I knew that I came from a line of healers, doctors on my grandmother's side, and I was always interested in the unseen worlds, and I think my path into psychology and later into shamanism was part of that that call.
In other words, you wanted to know who we really were, what lied deep within us, not so much about the physical world, but how to bring out what were the possibilities for creation from within our energy. I would think that was already there when you were born.
I think so. I wrestle with questions, you know, where was I before I was born? And what am I? And what am I doing here? And then where am I going to go after I'm gone. And while I certainly don't have answers to those questions, I ponder them, and my story has been part of pondering those questions.
Well, maybe today we'll have a few answers. This is very interesting to me. You tell the story of a dream and a load of frozen bodies, decapitated bodies that were to be put together to compete in a judo tournament. You eventually realize that the dismembered body needed to be made whole again and that your shamanic path was one of remembering and coming back to unity so you'd stop being confused about events in life and access the wisdom that was lost when we often dissociate from uncomfortable memories. Shamanism as a spiritual practice helped you get closer to your inner source or energy field and to see into other realms and dimensions and live life with new eyes. Now, I have to tell you, I have a coincidental story, but that's the way it always goes because my first book was Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection. And almost everybody I meet, we have these deep connections to each other to help us learn and develop and go forward. Now, many years ago, I had a dream, and at that time, it was very disturbing to me. I was in a box or sarcophagus, you know, on a boat, which seemed to be Egyptian, and I was in pieces, dismembered, and on the shore was my father in this life, who was a doctor, a podiatrist, and he was in a white and gold robe, and he seemed to be a religious healer. And shortly after that, at a Reiki healing conference, I heard the story of Isis and Osiris and Seth. Do you know that story?
Yes.
It's a mythical story of Egyptian deities, and Seth was jealous because Isis loved Osiris and not him, and had Osiris dismembered and his body parts sent all over to the island. But she loved him so much that she brought him back to life, and they then had a son. Now, of course, this is a mythological story of love, life, and death, remembering, resurrection, rebirth. So as I developed my awareness of energy and soul life and using mediumship to gather higher knowledge, I found I was very grateful to be functioning at a higher consciousness. And so I had put together those parts of myself, my inner and outer life, and knew our limitless ability to create and manifest a good life, which is our birthright. So do you think this was just a dream? Way that we both found something very valuable about life, our life, and all of life. What do you think, Cole?
I think when we're ready to hear things, Cheryl, that the world outside of us, inside of us, like the dream maker, will give us things to ponder. And my dream was certainly important to me to ponder, and it sounds like yours was as well. So I think that we are in a mysterious, magical world that if we're open to the messages, they're there for us to reflect on.
Absolutely. And they're there for all of us, not people who are healers, not only psychologists, not only energy healers like myself, not only mediums, not only educators, artists, musicians. It's for all of us when the time is right to open our minds and our hearts and to listen to the sound of the universe. So what was your motivation for writing Change Your Story, Change Your Life?
I've been in the world you're talking about where people have powerful spiritual experiences, and they really have that connection to the unseen world, spirit, but for whatever reason, they're not able to make changes in their everyday life. So I wanted to write a book for those people who wanted to bring their profound spiritual experiences into their health, their relationships, their psychologies, their jobs, their ways of being of service in the world, their relationship to a greater power. I wanted to ground them. Also, as a psychologist and analyst, I've worked with a lot of people over the years who seem trapped in their story. They just seem to be living a story that somebody else is writing, and they just can't seem to get out from under it and have freedom to make choices to dictate and write a new story. So it's for those people as well. I guess the last reason I wrote it was I'm at a stage in my life where I'm thinking about giving back, and I know a lot of people that are friends of mine are thinking as well, how can we, in the life that we have left, make a difference? And so I wanted to offer some ways people can connect to energies that will help them think about being of service and giving back in new ways.
But you wrote in the book, like all humans, we don't have the power to determine every event in our life. And since most of us are afraid of change, as we fear being shunned by societal family and friends, we're afraid to make different choices, take on new roles, and become empowered and healthy. And often we resist letting go. And we may live in denial and resist reflection and self-examination. And I think that's why you wrote the book, because you realize how many people are afraid of change. But I see also people afraid to assume personal responsibility for their development and healing, or to be healed on a multidimensional level, not just the mind, not just the physical body, not just symptoms, but to heal karma, you know, maybe perhaps where we have been, where our soul has been before this time and place, and all the issues that we have had before. We have a new opportunity to create something new every day, every moment of our life. That's why people say be in the moment. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the future. Right now, in this moment, we are healing because we are allowing change to happen. And I think that's part of your book and what it can help people do. Now, describe for our listeners Jungian psychology and how it differs from traditional psychology.
Jungian psychology pays great attention to the unconscious parts of ourselves, and many other psychologies do as well, but some are more ego psychologies where it's cognitive behavioral, where you're working with your consciousness. Jungian psychology believes that we have a personal unconscious, which consists of things we've repressed, and then a collective unconscious, which connects us to all the myths and the stories and in history and the future. And as we can learn to relate to those unconscious parts of ourselves, we can get information and energy that we can use for change. And so Jungian psychology is a depth psychology in that regard, that thinks it's important to work in those realms to facilitate change in our everyday life.
Yes, and you know, Carl Jung comes up a lot in many of the shows I do. Now, I see Carl Jung as very different from Freud. They were both founders of the modern age of psychology. But Carl Jung had a near-death experience, and he actually saw the realms beyond here, and he could hardly describe them because words were not enough to describe what he knew. So I'm always very fascinated with his philosophy and the imprint that he put on the field of psychology, and going within to all these resources of not only our present situation, but the collective, the whole collective of life, and how we all resonate together in the same DNA and perhaps from where we have come from before this time and place. So you also are very interested in shamanism. Can you tell us something about shamanism and what it has to do with Jungian psychology?
Well, shamans basically work with energy. They heal. They work with the past, and they work with the future. And I would say in many ways, Jungian analysts do the same thing. And you talked, Cheryl, a minute ago about the importance of being in the moment, in the present.
Yes.
I think both shamans and Jungians would say, in order to really be free in the present, we have to be as free as we can from past influences. And that's where shamanic and Jungian work can help us get free of unconscious past patterns. And then the other thing which both shamans and Jungians, maybe they'd have a little different language about it, but they would say this is important as well, and that is to try to envision and connect to a future that's the best one you can for you in spirit in this lifetime. And by so doing, that connection will help influence what you do in the present moment. So you want to be as free in the present moment from your past and connected to a desirable future so that your actions reflect that.
All right, so we are living a story with aspects that mirror the ones our parents and grandparents lived and some of the themes and beliefs and perceptions that they had. So shamans and Jungian psychologists help us to look into that so we can know ourselves better, serve ourselves and others, have a closer connection with source or this universal energy or life force. And I know shamans believe we have a luminous energy body that surrounds and infuses the physical body. This is what I work with in Reiki energy healing. I work with the chakra system and the energy field around us to help to balance any imperfections in that area of our life, because each chakra corresponds to different areas of our life and through different situations we're dealing with at any given moment in time. And when we're unbalanced, we can develop physical disease. So our energy being is as important as our physical life in maintaining health and well-being and growth and possibilities for creating that reality that you were talking about just a minute ago, the best spiritual and physical life that we want to have. Now, you also go on, this is something many of my shows deal with and many of the authors in one way or another address. You have a section in Change Your Story, Change Your Life, where you describe inner feminine or anima and inner masculine or animus, as every man and woman has a contrasexual opposite within. And as we know, relationships are one of the most challenging situations we will encounter in a physical life. So tell us something about this.
I chose to use a Jungian languaging as a way to explain shamanic experiences, because I think it captures it better than any other language I could think of. And one of these concepts is just what you said, Cheryl, that there is a inner woman in every man, inner masculine in every woman. And if one can become more aware of the characteristics of those beings inside of us, we will do better in our outside relationships with those of the opposite sex.
And we'll also be able to respect them for the differences. There are definitely differences between male and female. I mean, the woman works multitasking between the left and right side of the brain, and the man is more basically on the left side of the brain. And hormonally and chemically, there are differences in society. But that's not a problem. Those differences create for us possibilities to interest us, to keep us reconnecting to each other in many different ways. The thing is, we have to do it without judgment. We have to do it in an equal fashion where we respect and honor the uniqueness of every living being, soul on this planet. And I think that's where the problem comes in, where people respect something more than another. They respect one aspect of a person more than another aspect. They think one aspect is strong and one weak. They find the duality and separate the energies or beliefs or behaviors, when in essence, we just have to accept everything as it is, let it flow, not judge it, and allow it to serve us and to serve others in a respectful way.
I was going to say, in one way, I think you can generate that respect with the unknowns is to have a relationship to them through a conversation. And I talk a lot about ways to have conversations, dialogues with these parts of ourselves that we may be afraid of, we're not aware are there. And by so doing, it changes their impact on us emotionally. And it's amazing how just by having a conversation in real life with somebody, you can change what goes on thereafter. Similarly, you can do that when you converse with parts of yourself that you haven't even aware, being aware, you weren't even aware that we're there, and it changes the way they impact us.
That's interesting, yeah. So if you're having a problem, you have to make a decision, you're not sure which way to go, talk to yourself, think to yourself, ask yourself where it will lead you, what benefits or what problems you may have. And you will be having this inner dialogue between your male and female energies, and you will hopefully come up with the right direction. Now, you tell a story of a health issue regarding your heart and what you discovered that night, and I found it very meaningful and might be very helpful to some of our listeners out there. Can you tell us what you felt and then heard and what it meant to you?
I had an episode of atrial fibrillation, you know, where your heart starts to, you know, race and beat erratically. And I was trying to handle it in an energetic way, and I had a variety of ways I was doing it. So I was sleeping, I felt it, I left the room where I was sleeping with my wife to do some Qigong, you know, good spiritual practice, which I thought would help. But just as I was starting my practice, I had this inner voice say, "Be still and know that I am God." And it really caught me up short. And but I thought about it, and I realized that sometimes, even when we're trying to just do spiritual energetic ways to help ourselves, we're better off just to be still.
In the book, you give this poem, it's a verse to express what more of us should be remembering. May I read it?
Please.
All there is. Each moment only, breathe in, breathe out. Thoughts, feelings, in. Thoughts, feelings, out. Some sticking, some repeating, but always with the possibility of creating a new world of attitudes, thoughts, feelings, actions from the myriad possibilities of our isness. I loved it. We all have that essence within us. We are all connected to each other by that. And in that unity and that oneness, that's what the shamans are working with. That's what Carl Jung was discovering.
The Upatoi Dadi did a lot of work too, Cheryl.
Connected to his inner feminine being and his male energies and spirit and all of the inspiration that was coming to him. So that's why I'm always very impressed with him. You also describe 4 perceptual levels. Can you tell us something about the 4 perceptual levels?
Yes, we have a part of ourselves that perceives, and we look at reality in our literal physical bodies. So that's one way we relate to life. And then our minds and our psychologies get involved, and there's another overlay which is more unique to us. You and I may see a truck and yet have different meanings for it. And then there's a layer of our soul's journey, the mythic parts of us. And then there's just the realm of pure energy. And you as a Reiki healer, I as a doing shamanic work, we would work at that level of pure energy, thinking and believing and having seen that it influences the soul's journey, the mythic, it influences the psychology, and the physical. So those are all interacting. You know, we're all of those things all at the same time, but that's one way to talk about it.
Yes, and at that level of pure energy, when our ego dissolves and the boundary between our individual experience and that of all creation disappears, we can perceive everything as waves at various frequencies rather than matter, and we feel no separation between us and Source and all of creation. And you also share an incident by a client who encountered a large deer, a buck in the forest right after his father had died. And you say he was skeptical, but he still felt the spiritual element and he was in awe of the moment. Can you tell us what an incident like this, while it happens to all of us at varying times, what it means to a shaman in terms of individual consciousness?
Well, you had talked earlier about coincidences and, you know, the way that works.
Yes.
Jung talked about synchronicities. And this would be where, you know, you think about somebody and then they call you on the phone. Or you're thinking about your dad and a buck deer appears. So the shaman would say, in that sense, there's no coincidences. You may want to ask that deer, what message do you have for me today? You know, why are you here? What do you want from me? And then you might ask, in terms of being respectful, what can you do for that energy of the deer? And it's amazing what information one can get when one sees the world that way and sees that we're part of this bigger unfolding pattern that has magic and information for us if we're willing to respectfully relate to it.
Yeah. And in your book, you describe certain practices such as journeys, rituals, or ceremonies that help us understand these messages. And in my book, The Living Spirit Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, I share an understanding of the energy as an eternal life force and how through Reiki healing sessions, when you allow the physical defenses to relax, you can connect to this inner soul energy. Your being, your inner being. And as a medium, the stories seek to prove that we are energy. There is no death, and consciousness survives physical death, and shamans, mediums, and sensitives may feel and receive information from the energy or life force of their loved ones in spirit. Now, these are all different concepts, but they're all coming together to just show us we are very much more than we appear to be. Now, you say, how can we affect the parts of our story that seem out of control, such as an economic downturn or a layoff, loss of a spouse, a physical illness, seeing some of these in a positive light rather than going into a fearful mode?
Well, I believe we all have the ability to react to those things in a variety of ways. And some are going to bring us into a black hole of depression.
Yes.
Some allow us to see that we still can survive that which seems the most catastrophic, depending on the attitude we have towards it, that life gives, life takes away, and that we have more flexibility and freedom of action than we think. And that's one of the themes of the book, that can we find more alternative ways to react and be in life than we otherwise thought were possible.
Absolutely. Your book does show that very, very beautifully and very powerfully. And I want to thank you, Dr. Carl Greer, author of Change Your Story, Change Your Life, Using Shamanic and Jungian Tools to Achieve Personal Transformation, and sharing your methodology for accessing the ancient wisdom of universal energy through the portals of consciousness, enabling participants to change their ways of thinking and perceiving so they can write a new and better story for themselves. For more information and to purchase the book, go to CarlGreer.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have shared many of the really important ways to begin to look at our inner values and hopes in search for what might make us a happier, more fulfilled being who can love ourselves, others, the world, and find purpose in our actions and affect change in all areas of our lives. We have shared our hopes that in opening our minds and hearts to the possibilities of creating through new awareness, new experiences, which may allow us the latitude to really develop and know our deep and true connections to life, to love, and to change. Change is not only inevitable, but valuable in bringing us past the fears and complexes, neuroses, or pains of our worldly exposure and more fully into the deepest recesses of our soul and eternal energies. Call wrote, "The song that emerged reminded me of the futility of waiting for someone else to make my life worthwhile, of regretting things I missed in my upbringing, and of reflecting on existential angst but doing nothing about it. The new way forward was glimpsed to be an inner place that connected me to infinity. Once I tasted infinity, my life has never been the same. But I am reminded that accessing the inner place requires an ongoing practice of intention. The song has been a powerful symbol in a sequence of symbols that have emerged from time to time to aid me on my journey. The place that transcends time and space is the shaman's place of beyond the known." Paul and Cheryl would hope our listeners seek the song and symbols of change and understanding that help you co-create with Source a life of love, service, and purpose, and to find happiness along the way. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to learn more about energy healing, metaphysics, psychology, science, spirituality, and creation. You may also hear shows on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you for listening.